So we're in a series called Shape. This is week four. We're going to finish it up next week. Pastor Tony will actually be back next Sunday with his family. I'm going to finish the series up, but he'll be here so you get a chance to see him again. I'm so glad that he had a chance to get away. I said to him, I'm so glad that you're relaxing. He works hard during the week, during the year. And I know some of you think he only does Sundays. He does a little more than that, but we're blessed to have him as our lead pastor. So we're in a series called Shape. We're taking acronym from Rick Warren's book. Several years ago, he developed this acronym. So S is for spiritual gifts. What gift has the Holy Spirit given you and I that we could serve him? H is for heart. What do I have a passion for and what do I love to do? A is for abilities. What talents and skills have I learned? P is for personality. Where does my personality best personality fit to serve those around me? And E is what experiences have I had in my life? So we're in week four. Taylor brought the message last Sunday. It was a great message. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I want to encourage you. I love the one line he used. He said, you bear God's image and hold his touch. Think about that for a minute. You bear God's image and hold his touch. So I want to encourage you to listen to that and then even take the assessment online that's provided. So it's been a good series. People have made some very positive comments. And I think the real kind of ministry time has taken place in doing the assessments. So I think it's helped people begin to see and kind of define what their abilities are. And we're actually adding one for this week. It's Enneagram. My wife put me onto it and made me take it this week. And it's interesting, you know what I mean, to kind of look at where you're at. And now the DISC concept has been around for a long time. And we had a friend of ours who worked in the corporate world. She worked for Marshawn Eyewear, executive, very high position. And she actually took the DISC concept, and it's about temperaments, and she developed it for children because there was nothing for children. So if you're a parent today, I want to encourage you to get a hold of that because that'll give you some insight to your kids. That'll give you some insight on how to be a better parent because sometimes you're trying to get something done or trying to communicate something, and because we're not doing it in the right way, we're not, don't understand really the temperament that we're dealing with. Sometimes it can be a bit frustrating. So I want to encourage you to do that, and that'll be good. So we're looking at personality this week. Now, Rick Warren, to quote him out of his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, this is what he says. Your personality will affect how and where you use your spiritual gifts and abilities. Today, there are many books and tools that can help you understand your personality so you can determine how to use it for God and others. And I love this one quote from the book. It says, like stained glass, our different personalities reflect God's light in many different patterns and colors. Now, to illustrate this example this morning about different personalities, I got to ask you a personal question. Are you an under or an over person? And what I'm talking about is the toilet paper roll. Okay? So, to you, how many of it matters which way the paper comes off the roll? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone this morning. All right? So, I hope you wash your hand too. Your response to that question really demonstrates different personalities. Now, I was informed in between service by numerous people that the patent has the paper coming over the top. All right? So, that person was totally off. All right, we understand it. Now, my wife was in first service. She puts it on anyway. Under, over, she don't. I just confessed to her this morning. Confession is good for the soul. Then when she puts it on the wrong way, I don't say anything. I just change it. It's very important how it comes off the roll, all right? And there's a reason why some of you care which way the toilet paper comes off the roll and others don't. All right, it's because of the personality God has given you. So we titled the message this morning, Living Your Faith Through Personality. Let's look briefly at three different personality groupings or types, and each one tends to lead. We're going to find ourselves, you know, leaning towards one or the other in these. So the first one is, how do we relate to people? Are we an outgoing or shy person? Are we extroverted or introverted? When you walk into a room full of strangers, is your natural tendency to introduce yourself to everyone, meet as many people as you can, talking with the, you know, just finding that person that needs to be spoken to? Or are you the type of person that kind of, you like to be with that one person, kind of in the corner, all right, just talking with them, and or maybe you didn't even go to the party at all, all right? Now, I want to say this, and I want to make this very clear. Neither one of them is better than the other, okay? We need both kind of people. So don't think like, you know, you ever look at somebody, if you're not an outgoing person, you look at somebody who's outgoing, sometimes you wish you could be like that. But you know what? God's made you the way you are, and it's for a purpose. And so if you enjoy meeting new people, then you're most likely an outgoing person, while the other person who's shy will hang out with just a couple of people and kind of off to the side. Outgoing versus shy also identifies where you build up your energy. Outgoing people are energized by being around others, where shy, reserved people, although they may enjoy being around others, they recharge when they're able to be by themselves. They need alone time. Now, I used Andrew Bontemple in first service, and he was okay with it. Andrew is an introvert, okay? If you know him and you talk, he's fine with people. All right? But he's introverted. And he needs his alone time. I even asked his wife in the service. If he doesn't get his alone time, how is he? Does he get a little ornery? She said, yeah. Okay, because he needs that alone time. That doesn't make him a bad person. He's a great person. He brings a tremendous giftings to the body here, but he's an introvert. He needs that time. I remember my oldest son, when he was growing up, needed alone time. He needed that time to just recharge. So we let him do his thing. Go ahead. Needless to say, he's outgoing now. But shy people, reserved people, they become, when they're around too many people, it really zaps their energy. When they're all done with it, they're like, man, that was exhausting, you know? Where, you know, if you're an outgoing person, man, you're like, man, I feel so alive and so charged up. Shy people are often exhausted by having to be around a lot of people. Let's look at a biblical example. Let's look at Peter. Would you say Jesus' disciple Simon Peter was more outgoing or shy? Outgoing. I think he was definitely outgoing. He was the first to step out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking on the water. He was the first to declare Jesus was the Son of the living God. And on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, it was Peter who stood up and preached the good news of Jesus Christ to the thousands of people who had gathered in Jerusalem. Now, Peter, before the Holy Spirit, was loud and obnoxious. After the Holy Spirit, he was loud and obedient. But you know what? He was still loud. That was the way God wired him. All right? What do you think I am? Tough question, huh? Outgoing or shy? Well, I'll say this. It's a little bit of combination. All right? Those that have, you know, have known me for a while. I'm okay by myself. I don't have to have a lot of people around me. All right? If I'm doing something and it's by myself, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm not looking to pull other people in. I'm happy with myself alone. All right? But I'm also a people person. I like to be around people. So I'm kind of a in between. The second group of personalities we're looking at is task-orientated versus people-orientated. Projects versus people. Now, we're looking at task-orientated versus people-orientated. The task-orientated person enjoys completing the project. Just give them a project to do, and they will sink their teeth into it and get it done. They don't waste much time talking about it. Let's do it. They were actually, the task-orientated person was the one that coined the Nike slogan, just do it. It had to be a task-orientated person, all right? This personality may enjoy being around people and talking with them, but the main focus is on getting the job done. People-orientated personalities, on the other hand, they obviously enjoy being around more with people, and they'll get the job done, all right? But along the way, they're going to get to know in a very personal way who they're doing a job with, all right? It's not that they don't want to, you know, get the tasks done. They will get it done, all right? But they're more concerned about the relationships than getting the project done. Let's look at a biblical example. A perfect biblical example of this comparison is Jesus' friends, sisters, Martha and Mary. This is found in Luke chapter 10, and I'll read from verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken from her." Now, sometimes when we've heard that story, we think that Mary is better than Martha, all right? And so which sister is more task-orientated? Martha, okay, she wants to get it done, all right? Which sister is most likely people-orientated? Mary. But in this story, it seems that as though Jesus is saying it's better to be a person, or it seems like Jesus is trying to say it's better to be a people-orientated person than a task-orientated person like Martha. However, the point I think that Jesus is making was it's better to be a Jesus-orientated person than to be distracted or worried about the task of serving. I want you to notice something. It says, Martha opened her home. Sometimes we skip over that, you know? Hey, she wanted Jesus there. It wasn't like, you know, she was looking at it like, oh, you know, it's work for me to do. She wanted to serve him, all right? But Martha had lost her focus on the joy of serving. Which do you think I am, a task-orientated or a people-orientated person? Those that know me said task. All right. Now, I'll confess to you this morning, all right, that I'm a task-orientated person. Now, my wife is a people-orientated person. She'll get the job done, but she's going to talk to you along the way. As a matter of fact, she'll stop what she's doing. My wife is such a good listener that when she says to me, "You said," that's it. When she says that, I don't even argue, all right, because I must have said it. She's great at recall, all right? I'm sure she's probably used that a few times against me, all right? But she's good at that. Now, I love being around people, all right? But when there's a job to get done, all right, that's what I'm focused on. And I remember years ago, I was with a church in Nassau, you know, youth group, and so we'd go and we do these service projects helping people. And so we get together and I give the pep talk. "Come on, guys, we're going to go do this. We're going to go in there. We're going to do a great job," and whatever. And we get there and we start working. And the next thing I know, there's like kids are off to the side talking and fooling around. And we're working. There's people that are working and they're talking. And I'm like, I used to get aggravated, you know, because I didn't understand, "Guys, we're here to work. Why are you talking?" All right. But they were people. I didn't understand all this. They were people-orientated people. And so in the process of doing what they were doing, they were getting to know each other and having a good time together, all right? Now, this is a good place to point out that we can't make people, all right, fit our personalities. Mary's personality and Martha's personality were very different. Martha wanted her sister to be a task-orientated person like her, and she was bothered by the fact that Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. You can't make people fit your mold when you want them to, whether it's in ministry, in the church, marriage, parenting, or just everyday circumstances. So now let's look at variety versus routine. The person who enjoys variety loves new challenges and doing something different every day. They love to be spontaneous and leave their options open. The person who loves routine, on the other hand, loves to do the same thing every day. Predictable, certain. They love to have a plan and a checklist and follow it to the T. Let's look at a biblical example. Let's look at the Apostle Paul as an example. Would you say the Apostle Paul was more of a variety or a routine person? I think he enjoyed variety. He became the missionary to the Gentiles. He went from town to town in the Roman Empire, preaching the good news and gospel of Jesus Christ, establishing a group of believers, building a church, appointing a leader, and then moving on to the next town. And even though Paul would present the good news of Jesus Christ, his presentation would change too, depending on where he was located and who he was speaking to. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 23, it says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so that as to win not those not under the law. To the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people, so by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I share in its blessings." He was able to adapt to his situation. He was able to adapt to the people that he was speaking to because he was a variety person. So, what do you think I am? Variety or routine? You're so right. I like routine, all right? I don't like Groundhog Day. I don't want to get up every day and it be the same. Trust me, I don't like that. And I can go with variety, all right? But I do like routine. I like predictable. I like to make the list and just check it off as I go. As a matter of fact, I already got my Monday list going. All right, I started it already. Now, if something happens along the way, I'm not gonna stick to the list. Oh, I can't do that, I gotta go, you know. I'm gonna adapt to it, I'm okay with that. Things come up, I understand that. But I do like to get things done. I made a list yesterday, and by the grace of God, I got everything done on my list. It was so great, you know? I was like, at the end of the day, it's like, check, check, check. All right, man, we're ready for tomorrow, all right? But since the 4th century, a guy named Hippocrates determined that there were 4 different personality types. And we actually still use these today, okay? And I'm going to help you figure out who you're more like. Now, you'll be dominant in one area, but it may overflow into others, all right? And to make it easier to help us associate these temperaments, I've given them animal names, or they've given them animal names. They are the otter, the sanguine, the beaver, melancholy, the lion, the choleric, and the golden retriever, the phlegmatic. Many of us will find, like I said, one personality does not describe us completely because we're actually a combination of them. But you'll find one that's really dominant in your life. Now, I don't want you to feel boxed in, all right? But this is simply a means to help us understand ourselves and others better. So let's talk about the description of the otter. The otter is talkative, life of the party, good sense of humor, memory for color, emotional, curious, cheerful, and bubbling over. Makes friends easily, loves people, thrives on compliments, doesn't hold grudges, likes spontaneous activity. That's an otter. A lion is born leader, compulsive, need to change, must correct wrong, strong-willed and decisive, unemotional, independent, and self-sufficient, goal-orientated, exudes confidence, not easily discouraged, seeks practical solutions, moves quickly to action, stimulates activity, is usually right. Some of you just nudged your partner there. Okay, description of a beaver. Deep and thoughtful, analytical, serious and purposeful, talented and creative, sensitive to others, self-sacrificing, orderly and organized, detail conscious, persistent, and thorough. Good problem solver, makes friends cautiously, content to stay in the background. Then there's the golden retriever. Low-key personality, easygoing and relaxed, calm, cool, and collected, patient, well-balanced, quiet and witty, avoids conflict, sympathetic and kind, good listener, keeps emotions hidden, meditates problems, enjoys watching people, has compassion and concern. Now, I won't ask you this morning what you think I am, all right? But did you find yourself somewhere in there? Okay, one of those is dominant. You may have a combination of them, but definitely one of those is dominant. Now, what I don't want to happen today is I don't want you to leave here and start calling your family and friends by animal names, all right? I know I talked to someone in the cafe, in the family room afterward, and they were like, why is people keep telling me I'm a lion? And they weren't in service. I said, well, second service, you understand, all right? But so don't be calling them animal names. But I want to remind you that our personalities are God-given gifts to help us serve Christ and those around us. They're not meant to box you in because usually we're able to work outside our natural tendencies. But your regular and most fulfilling area of ministry should be where your personal strengths are. Now, let's look at an example of ministries based on personality. And now we're going to use an illustration this morning on how different personalities work together, even in the same ministry. We did this with the spiritual gifts. Remember the woman dropped the tray of dessert, and there was every different person that had a spiritual gift responded in a different way. Well, that's kind of similar, all right? So suppose you feel to help with hospitality in the church. You desire to help others feel welcome. If you're an otter, what do you think would be a good position for you? A good position for you would be to be a greeter. An otter loves to greet every person coming in the door, especially new people. Who could coordinate hospitality to make sure everything gets done? That's a lion. Who would keep meticulous records, making sure every person was accounted for? That's a beaver. And who would most likely enjoy baking desserts for fellowship time and cleaning up afterwards, and perhaps sending a card to a visitor? That's a golden retriever. Do you see how God takes and uses our different personalities to work together and to really complement one another in the body of Christ? And we're called to serve one another. So if you can understand that, everyone's not going to be like you, all right? And sometimes you may find that frustrating because you're working with somebody and you're expecting them to do what you do, where they do things differently and have a different personality. So our tendency is to want everyone to act like me. We get frustrated when people don't see things our way or act the way we do. But God created us with different personalities to work together. Romans 12, verses 4 through the first part of verse 6 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. 1 Corinthians 12:27 reminds us, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is now a part of it. So I want you to really begin to see that you're part of the body of Christ. And God has gifted you and gifted your personality, and we need to find a place to plug in and use it. The God who created you for who you are, he wants you to serve in the way that you're shaped. Different personalities. And like I said, don't try to get someone to fit your mold. Perhaps that's why Paul, after writing in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, follows up with, you know, he's talking about the gifts and he's talking about how those gifts work. And he follows it up immediately talking about loving one another. You ever clash with somebody in church that just... No, I know you never did that. All right, well, let's move on from there. No, it's like, you know, we just expect sometimes people to be the way we are. And it's not. We got to have a better understanding. I love what Oswald Chambers describes. He says, always measure your life solely by the standard of Jesus. Submit yourself to his yoke and his alone. And be careful never to place a yoke on others that's not of Jesus Christ. Now, my closing thoughts are going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It says you're God's workmanship. What it really means is you're God's masterpiece. You're a work of art. The word workmanship translates from the Greek into the English, the word poem. It means that which is made or created, and it was often used as reference to a work of art or a masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. Now, some of you are like, you got no problem accepting that. My wife and I were laughing yesterday because we knew this girl. She was young. She was like 3 or 4 years old, and she had the most outgoing personality, and she sang. Her parents were singers. She sang. And I remember she got up at our reception and just, "I'm going to sing a song for you. I am a promise. I'm a possibility." And she went on this whole song. She had no problem seeing that she was a masterpiece. All right? But some of you sit there and you're like, "Who, me?" You know? God says you're a masterpiece. Okay? And it means that which is created or made, and it's often used, like I said, towards a piece of art. You're God's masterpiece. Your personality is a unique combination of different traits. Each of us has a complex combination of those traits, and your combination is unique. Your personality is like a thumbprint. Everyone's different. And if we can connect with this and begin to understand this and begin to use this the way God intended us to do, because your personality influences every area of your life. It influences every decision you make, how you deal with change, how you solve problems, what makes you happy or sad, what makes you think is funny. It helps to determine what kind of work you should do, the kind of person you should marry, and the kind of ministry God wants you to have. Your personality influences how you relate to God. So, what do you want to do? What do you love to do? If you could do anything in the world for God, what would it be? What motivates you? What interests you? What fascinates you? What gets you excited? What makes your heart beat a little faster? Now, in that verse, Ephesians 2:10, at the end it says, "which God prepared in advance for you to do." And we go back to Psalm 139. It talks about how we were in the womb and God ordained all our days before they came to be. Understand this. God gave you the personality that you have, and he wants you to use that to bless him and to bless others. My closing scripture is in Psalm 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Take delight in God. And I want to encourage you, do that assessment. Now, I know the otter and the beaver and all that. Now, there's also a downside to that. And if you take a chance to review that, you'll see that, you know, and you'll see sometimes why you've run into some bumps in the road along the way. But God has created you to serve him and to serve others. And you're a masterpiece. You're unique. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people. God, I thank you that you've made us all different. But God, you want us to complement one another. You want us to learn how to work together to establish your kingdom and build your church. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd just open this area up to us. And God, you'd show us who you want us to be in the way that you've made us. And I just pray that your favor and your blessing would rest on your people today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.